church, you know, amongst many, many, many thousands of other small churches that meet like us, you know, we come together for a purpose and a reason, and that's to worship the Lord. It's all about Jesus. It's not about the worship people. It's not about me, anybody else, but it's about lifting up Jesus. That's what Crossfire Assembly is for, to lift up Jesus. We're not a perfect church. We don't do everything right around here. We never will. We're all flawed. Everybody in this room is flawed. Amen? Yeah. And we don't do everything perfect. We don't say everything right. But I tell you what, I know that the people in here that are involved, volunteers and people who do ministry, have a heart to worship the Lord. Amen? That's what we come here for. And we're excited about Jesus. And when anyone comes in here with the Lord's help, is what they're going to receive is that knowledge of that we're lifting up Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that can change a heart and a soul for all eternity. That isn't my sermon, but it was sure fun to say it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got to remind ourselves of that, though. We really do. We're the family of God. And, you know, Lydia, when Bob and I were the other day, you know, I was standing there looking at Jim, I noticed that my brother had a smile on his face the whole time we were there, even in the midst of a battle. You know, those are warriors. Jim is an example of a warrior for the cause of Christ, and this stuff didn't shake his faith. It only made him more excited and determined to show that Jesus is real. That's why when I come in here, and I might act a little ridiculous sometimes, because I don't care. Because I agree with my brother that I'm excited about Jesus. And you need to be radical. And Brother Jim is radical for Jesus. And I love the guy because he challenges me. Anybody who's been around him will know that that man has got a warrior spirit to serve and to love and to talk and to think and to live Jesus. But he's not perfect. Because you know how he got that way? Because of Jesus. All the glory always goes back. Always goes back to Jesus. No man will ever share that glory with our Lord, will they? But we thank God for men like Jim, and that's why our hearts are with him. And I believe he's going to come back, and I believe he's going to stand up here and preach a sermon. I believe he will. I want him to, and I'm excited when he will and when he'll come. And that's what he said to us in the hospital. He says, I really want to preach. It's still in his heart. So let's pray as the body every day for Brother Jim, and we're going to see him come back. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Seven ways to praise the Lord. Seven ways to praise the Lord. Everybody say with me, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There is one person who didn't. Let's say it again. Praise the Lord. I question it. We'll go forward here. Psalms 149, 1 through 9, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let him sing praises unto him with the tremble and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Did you hear that? For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Let's say praise the Lord again.
Praise the Lord.
Is there anybody in here who says, Lynn, don't make us say praise the Lord anymore? I won't listen to you anyway. So, see, praise is an integral part of our relationship with God. That's the part of the Christian life, is to praise our Lord. One time, it was a long time ago, I lived in Fargo, and I was working for a company, and I was talking to a guy on the phone about a problem that got resolved and everything. And you know something? If you're in a state of praise all the time, you're excited about Jesus. It kind of comes out of your lips. So when he got done, I said, praise the Lord. And I realized I was talking to a businessman on a telephone about something else, that I wasn't standing in church. But you know, and I started to realize, you know, I believe the Lord wanted me to say it. But that's what was in my heart. That's what should be in our hearts every moment of every day, is a praise in our hearts. Even when things aren't going well, we can still say, praise the Lord, because He is our eternal salvation. Amen. No matter what happens to us or how bad things get, we can still say, praise the Lord, because our future is complete in Jesus. And that's how we can praise Him. Amen. God inhabits our praises. We should praise God without inhibition. Our praise glorifies God. Our praise draws us closer to God and draws God closer to us when we praise Him. People who do not praise are people who do not have power. They don't have power. People who do not have power struggle with their walk with the Lord. They do. When there's a praise in your heart, there's a strength. What's Nehemiah 8:10 say? The joy of the Lord is our strength. When we have the joy and the presence and the praise of God in our hearts, it gives us strength to overcome the situations of life as we walk through. See, the enemy isn't after the middle of the road person, the lukewarm person that just satisfied to be entertained and to say, I was in church. Satan's after the person who's on fire for Jesus, red hot for Jesus. That's who he's after. And he's also after the weak, those who are struggling so hard but have a heart after God. Their heart's on fire for God, but they're struggling so hard. Those two categories Satan's after, but he's not after that middle-of-the-road person. He really isn't. Because that's the group that Jesus goes, I'd rather have you hot or cold. Amen? Let me give you just a few reasons to praise the Lord from the book of Psalms 107. He is good. You can read it. I didn't take time to read the whole chapter. I just jotted some things out of it. He is good. His mercy endures forever. His redemption from the enemy. His gathering of the people. His deliverance from distresses. His leading. His goodness and wonderful works. His soul satisfying powers. Salvation from distresses. Deliverance from darkness and the shadow of death. Liberation from bondage, bodily healing, deliverance from destruction, deliverance from storms, and material prosperity. I tell you, that was just a small and minute thing that we can pull out of the scriptures of why we should praise the Lord. Amen? There's so much, it's unbelievable. You can dwell on one thing, salvation alone, and have praise within your heart welling up within you. Not everybody understands our praise. Some would label us or brand us crazy. Or weird. Been there. Doesn't hurt one bit. Doesn't hurt one bit. Because every time Satan comes in and tries to make me say, boy, you sure look like an idiot. You're sure crazy. You're a foolish looking character. All I got to do is turn my TV set onto a football game. That's all I got to do. And I get to see these fans with their crazy hats and their paint all over and naked and drinking and drunk and everything and worshiping the Vikings. And it's ended when the game's done. And some of them might go home and get killed on the way home or whatever's going on in their life. But I tell you, when I can act crazy and I can praise God and I can get radical for Jesus and I can jump around like crazy, and I got an eternal hope. It encourages me to go forward. When it's all said and done, it isn't finished, because I can turn right around and praise Him again. Why? Because He's always there 24 hours a day, ready to help me whenever I need it. And I can praise Him. I praise Him. I praise Him. You're saying, Linda, you're working it. You're looking crazy. That's okay with me. Praise the Lord. So here's seven words for praise. The first one is toda. It comes from the same principal root word as yada. Literally means, these are Hebrew words, by the way, literally means an extension of the hand in adoration by a vowel, which is admission or acceptance. Or a choir of worshipers, confession, sacrifice of. It is also used for thanking God for things not yet received. That's praising God. When you can thank God for the things you're asking Him for and they're not even there yet, you can thank Him. That's praise to Him, because you know it's going to be done according to His will, as well as things already at hand. Jeremiah 33:11 says, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. For His mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice. of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as the first, saith the Lord. Sometimes our praises are a sacrifice, aren't they? They feel like a sacrifice. You don't feel like it. There's things going on and within the flesh, you don't want to do it, so it becomes a sacrifice. But God honors those sacrificial praises. He honors them because you know what it is? That shows your faith in a never-failing Heavenly Father. And that's what happens. This is the praise we offer to God when everything in our life seems to be upside down and topsy-turvy. Our sacrifice of praise is anchored in the cross of Jesus. It's eternal, man. It's all in Jesus, our hope. And that's why even in the hard times of life, when our life is topsy-turvy and things aren't going right, we have that praise because it's anchored in the cross. No matter what, we have eternal hope. Praise the Lord. Psalms 42, 1 through 4 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Have you ever been there, brothers, sisters? Have you literally sat in your home as you read the word in your heart? This isn't talking at you about your heart here, but I'm saying within your heart and your spirit that you literally pant after the desires, the having more of the Lord. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I like that, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? You know, brothers, sisters, that's one tool Satan uses continually. When you're going through the hardships of life, he's always going to say, where is God now? To discourage you, to bring you down, to bring you like there's no hope, no future, nothing, no answer to anything. Satan will come along and say, where is God now? He'll use that on us every single time. When I remember, verse 4 says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. See, the same word toda is in that word, praise there. During time when the writer did not know where God was in verse 3, he still praised God. He still praised him. See, this is a sacrificial praise. Verse 4, I'm going to read it again. It says, when I remember these things, David said, when I remember these things. See, he remembers the times when it was easy to praise God. That gives us hope, doesn't it? There's times in our life when it's really super easy just to give God all the praise and glory, and your everything seems to be going right. David remembered those things, those times. This praise pushes through the walls of adversity. That's why we need to praise the Lord. If you're going through an adversity, through a struggle in your life, you need to just praise God. You need to bring that sacrifice and praise him. The next word is yada, a verb with a root meaning the extended hand, to throw out the hand. To throw out the hand. Therefore, to worship with extended hands. The antonym is to bemoan by wringing of the hands. Yada means to willfully throw your hands up to praise and power. Do it right now. Just take your hands and do it unto the Lord. That's what that Hebrew word is, yada, to praise the Lord. Psalms 134:2 says, I'll just say the word first, but it says, yada, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's what lift means there, yada. Psalm 63:1 says, so I will bless thee as long as I live. I will, yada, lift up my hands in thy name. So if somebody thinks you're a nutcase because you're sitting in church or you're sitting in your car and your hands are up like this saying, praise the Lord. You just say, I'm a peculiar person. Because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we yada. We lift up our hands, praise unto God. First, it's a sacrifice sometimes in our life. And now it's we lift up our hands, we throw them up to God. Yada is an outward sign of what the Lord has done inside of you. What's going on in the inside of us? That'll answer many times what's coming on the outside. You can tell. You can be around people. You can be around Christian people, and you can tell who's got a real strong relationship with the Lord and is being obedient to the Lord many times and giving the Lord time and spending time with him and worshiping him, because you don't feel weird being around people that are praising God. I know most everybody in here, and I think most of us all been in church services where the Holy Spirit has been moving and people were dancing and praising God, speaking in tongues, and just getting radical. It was awesome. I haven't seen too many pew jumpers, but those are awesome anyway. One time my wife and I were in Providence, Rhode Island. This was many years ago, and this still stays with me. And we went into a Bible college in there, when we got in there, the people began to worship and to praise the Lord. I mean, it was a nice full house that day, and people were just worshiping God. And as they did, there was people, some ladies in the front that started dancing in the Lord. I mean, they were just going around. But as they were doing it, they were going through the pews of the people, right through here, in front of the people, dancing with their eyes closed and their hands raised. We were brand new Christians. We thought, this is really something. They didn't touch anybody. They didn't hit anybody. They didn't trip over anybody. But they were circling, dancing before the Lord and praising Him in and out of the pews, in the front pews. I believe they were in the Spirit worshiping Almighty God. I've seen people hit their heads praising God on pews, and you think it'd kill them. But they get up and there's no bruises, none. They just keep on praising God. Whew. Man, I'm getting so excited here. My shoe's about ready to come off. Yada is a proactive verb. The use of this word in praise demonstrates a will, a desire, and a purpose to praise God. Did you hear that? It demonstrates a will, your will, a desire, and a purpose to praise God. The next word is barak. It's spelled B-A-R-A-K. Barak means to kneel down. To bless God is an act of adoration, to kneel down. That's what that one means. When you come before the Lord, you kneel down. Psalms 95:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel, barak, before the Lord our Maker." Let us kneel before this mighty, awesome God. You know, brothers and sisters, when I read these Hebrew words and I think about what they mean and what they say, can you see the reverence before this mighty God? How important it is to praise Him through these actions? He inhabits them. He loves it when we come before Him and love Him this way and to praise Him. I'm not this short. You got to mix a little bit sometimes, too. Psalms 34:1 says, "I will bless Barak," meaning the Lord, "at all times." How many times? All times. How many times?
All.
Oh, man, you're getting excited. You're praying. Oof, that's what you do. "At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Continually. Not just when we feel like it, but all the time. Even when there's hardships going on, I can have a praise in my mouth to Almighty God. 1 Chronicles 29:20 says, "And David said to all the congregation, 'Now bless,'" meaning Barak, "'the Lord your God.' And all the congregation blessed Barak, the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king." They worshiped and praised the Lord. They got up on their knees and they bowed before Almighty God. We need to do that. Sometimes it's humbling to do that, but we need to do it. Maybe even as a collective group, we need to all bow before the Lord and let the Lord know how we honor and reverence Him. Amen? There comes a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord. That time is coming, I think, sooner than later. Why not let it be now? Let's let it be now. It's much easier to do it now because it's going to happen. We need to learn to bend the knee in adoration now, or we will bend the knee later in rejection to Him. And there's people bending the knee in rejection to Him even in this today world that we live in. So we're so concerned about being blessed. Let us learn to do some blessing and blessing our Lord in honoring Him. The fourth Hebrew word for praise is shabak. Shabak. This means to address in a loud tone. And I love this one, people. This is one of my favorites. This means to address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph. This form of praise makes those who are not praisers uncomfortable. Those are the ones that may say things. Those who are not praisers will find fault with those who shabak. Been there! It doesn't hurt a bit.
Because I don't care what they think. I only care what Jesus thinks. And if I'm praising God, I don't care what somebody thinks of me praising God. If I feel like being loud or I feel like being quiet, I'll do it either way, but I'm going to praise God. And if somebody wants me to call me an idiot or whatever they want to call me, let them go ahead and do it, because the Holy Ghost take care of them. Because, you know, I believe those type of people, when they go home and lay in their bed, they're going to see me. Hallelujah! To the point where they start doing it. Huh? We're the head, not the tail. We set the example. The world doesn't dictate to us how we praise our Lord. The world doesn't dictate how we preach the word. We preach the word according to the way the Lord gave it to us. And we live the way the Lord told us to. We praise our God the way he told us to. I don't care about the world. I do not conform to any of the junk stuff. I only care about this. Praise the Lord. And believe me, brothers and sisters, believe me, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be looked at, called names in the whole nine yards. But you know something? It only makes me more grounded to know when that happens that I'm doing what God wants me to do. Because he said the world hated me. The world's going to hate you too. So nothing you do, even if you conform to them or try to do what they want to do, they're still going to hate you. They're still going to hate you. As long as you've got the name of Jesus in your heart, they're going to hate you. So why conform to them? Let's just praise the Lord and have fun. That's what we need to do. Praise the Lord. Ezra 3:11 says, "And they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." I like that. All the people shouted with a great shout. Hallelujah! Oh, I thought you were going to join in with me when I did that. I was the only one. That's embarrassing. There you go, brother. Psalms 47:1. Oh, clap your hands. All ye people, shout Shabbat unto God with the voice of triumph. You know, when you shout, many times it gives you a sense of victory and triumph. That's what it does when you shout. And that's why it's good to shout, even in a church atmosphere here. It's good to shout. If you feel led to shout, go ahead. I'm not going to get scared. I tell you what, that's what we need to do. If you need victory in your situation and you need triumph, you need to shout to God praises to him. You feel better after you're done. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what Brother Jim does. As best he can, he's going to shout it out. And when we shout it out, it gives you that power and that victory and that sense that all is well because it's in God's hands. And when you praise him that way, you start feeling triumphant too in your life. Amen? Shabbat! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to learn to vocalize our appreciation to God. Sometimes we just feel like shouting because it's been so good. He's been so good to us. Amen? You just want to shout it out. He's been so... Think about your life, how far you are, how far we've come, where we're at today, even sitting in this room right now. God has been so good to us. And we can shout, "Lord, thank you for the victory that you brought me through. When I thought I was a goner and it looks like I'm down and out, you brought me this far and I'm here now. I'm still making it. I praise you, Lord." And that praise goes up to heaven into his heart. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 12:6 says, "Cry out and shout, Shabbat, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. The fifth is Zamar, to pluck the strings of an instrument, to sing the praise, a musical word, which is largely involved with joyful expressions of music with musical instruments." Psalms 151 and 6 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Thank you, Amy, for your playing of the organ there. You don't have to be perfect. God didn't call you to be perfect. He called you to be willing and obedient to his son. He will glorify those keys. His anointing will lift up his praise to heaven when we do it as unto him. We don't do it as unto us or as unto you. We do it to God, and God receives the sound of that instrument, and in him it's perfect. Maybe it isn't to us, but in God's heart it's perfect. Amen. That's Zamar. That's Zamar. That's how we worship and praise the Lord. God is well pleased when we sing and play instruments. Music is one of the most powerful influences in our lives. It can make you happy, sad, angry, upset, agitated, calm, and even change your heartbeat. Been at some of those. The sixth Hebrew word for praise is halal. Our word hallelujah comes from this base word. It means to be clear, to boast, show, to rave, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. I like that one. Hallelujah! Isaiah 30:18 says, for the grave cannot praise halal thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. That they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Psalms 96:4 says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, halal. He is to be feared above all gods. Psalms 149:3 says, let them praise halal, his name in the dance. Let him sing praises halal with tremble and harp. See, there is no reason better than God for us to act crazy and foolish. There's no better reason. If you're going to be crazy and foolish, do it for Jesus. You hear all the other things. I'm riding my motorcycle for Jesus. I'm trucking for Jesus. Well, praise him for Jesus. Praise him. Act foolish. Go in the crowds and shout it. If somebody, you know, if anybody... One of my witnesses ways the Lord has given me that when people use foul language of or use God's name when I'm around them, you know, one of the first things I say is, praise the Lord. And I still remember this guy said to me, he said, what did you say that for? And I thought he looked crazy doing this. And I says, can I tell you why? And he said, yeah. I said, because I gave my life to Jesus, I'm a born-again Christian, and I love him. He forgave me of all my sins, delivered me from an eternal hell. Today, that man, I've given him a Bible. I've been witness to him, and you know what's exciting about it? I've been able to water, but God has brought another friend of his into his life that's a Christian now doing the same thing I'm feeding from my side. Sometimes it's a jerk. Praise the Lord. People act crazy and foolish for sports. People act crazy and foolish for prizes. You ever watch some of the prize programs when somebody wins something? They run like wild turkeys through the thing. They're screaming and yelling. And how come we don't do that for Jesus? If you hear the Lord's name in vain used out there, just simply say, praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. Let them be convicted in their hearts when they do it, and what a great testimony. Because it's saying to them that you love the Lord so much you're willing to say praise to his name, because many times they don't even know they're doing it. And it takes you being anointed the Holy Spirit to say, praise the Lord. It's so easy. It's fun. I look forward to it. Not that they swear, but I look forward to be there that I can put my insert in if the Lord opened that door. And he does if you really want to. I think we ought to act crazy and foolish for Jesus in a respectful manner. Kind of what's that word? I just lost it. Anyway, we'll go on. It'll come to me. Yeah. The final word for praise is tehillah. Tehillah is derived from the word halal and means the singing of halals, to sing or to loud, which is to praise or glorify. Perceived to involve music, especially singing hymns of the Spirit. Did you hear that? Yes, hymns of the Spirit. Not worldly music to appease people, but hymns of the Spirit that praise God. We should be coming before the Lord and worshiping him, not us coming before the Lord so we can be entertained. Amen? See, this is open, public, absolute, uninhibited praise. Song, dance, clapping, singing, and shouting. It's all open. It's through this type of praise battles are won. 2 Chronicles 20 and 22 says, "And when they began to sing and to praise Tehillah, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." When we praise with this kind of praise, people will see it and learn to trust in God. They will. They'll learn it. Psalms 43 says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise Tehillah unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." See, God always confirms his word, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. There you have seven words, Hebrew words, on how to praise the Lord. I'm just going to give you a little edification here. Psalms 104 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with
praise."
Praise. Praise. Ooh, I'm not, get radical. I like that. Praise the Lord. Thanksgiving is the doorway to God, and praise is his throne room. Moses sang unto the Lord in Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." See, Moses is singing, "The Lord Yeshua is my deliverance, my victory, my help, and my salvation." That's what he's singing there. When we praise and magnify God, we are actually swept into his presence. That's why many times when you see a corporate body even begin to literally begin to worship and praise God, that the Holy Ghost begins to move supernaturally amongst the body. People get healed, people get delivered, people get delivered from bondages, everything. Because we're brought literally before God. He inhabits those praises. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Psalms 22:3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." See, that's the right attitude toward God, to praise him. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." How many in here today want fullness of joy in your life? How many in here today need the fullness of joy in your life? Well, that is before the throne room of God. That's where we go to get that fullness of joy in his presence. "At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore." See, as you enter into the Lord's presence through praise, fear, doubt, confusion, pain diminish, and God is magnified along with his endless possibilities of answers to your prayers. That's what happens. Doesn't that just get you excited? You thought I was too old to do that, didn't you, huh? See, at this time, nothing can stand against you and win. One of our greatest examples of what God can happen when we praise God is found in 2 Chronicles 20. It says, "Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came under the threat of attack by Moab and Ammon. Jehoshaphat feared for his life and the lives of his people and set himself to seek the Lord." What was God's response? Praise. "Not one arrow was shot or one sword drawn in the battle, only the sound of Judah praising the King of Kings." Nothing else was done, just praise. Praise. Verse 21 says, "And when he had," in verse 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, "and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." See, three things Jehoshaphat did before the battle. He charged the army to believe in God, to have faith in the Lord. Consulted with the people, the praise must precede our efforts. Appointed singers unto the Lord to sing and to praise him before the army as they march to battle. I would encourage you and I that as we're facing battles in our life, let's put praise up front. Let's put praise up front and try not think of other things than the arm of flesh to resolve what God can do through praise. Because praise builds your faith. When your faith is up, you become strong. When you're strong, you can believe for the impossible. It takes order. It's awesome. It's awesome. The result was a complete victory in which it took 3 full days to collect the spoils. There's power in praise, people. Then we have Paul and Silas. They were beaten and thrown in the inner prison of Ephesus. Read Acts 16, 22 through 24. And the multitude rose up together against, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon him, they cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them. And they cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Wow, looks like they're done deal, huh? Looks like there's no way out of that one. Might as well get depressed. They thank God and praise God regardless of their pain and their circumstances. Immediately they were in the presence of the liberating power of Jesus when they began to praise him. Amen? How do I know that? Let's read Acts 16, verses 25 and 26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Everyone's, not just theirs, everyone's. How'd they do it? By singing praises to God. Think of what a testimony that was to these other prisoners and the God that Paul and Silas served. That's what we need to do too. In the midst of difficulty, begin to praise the Lord. Amen? No wonder the psalmist at the very end of the book commanded in 156, he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everything that has breath. What can we learn through the examples of Jehoshaphat, Paul, and Silas? That God works through praise, doesn't he? When we praise God, we're reminding ourselves of his power to deliver. Can praise work the same way today as in the Bible days? You sure can. You know why I know that? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. He works the same identical way. Isn't that encouraging that we have a God that can manifest himself in our day and age the same way through praise? Are there any situations that you're facing at this moment that God needs to work in? Salvation is God's gift to us. Our praise is our gift to God. No wonder David finished Psalms 150 again, where he said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Somehow, some way, praise him. No matter what, praise him. No matter when, praise him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all say praise the Lord. Brothers, let's get communion ready here. We're going to praise the Lord through communion. Praise the Lord. And everybody, let's just for a moment stand before we take it. I want to incorporate this a prayer before we take communion here too, as they prepare here. How many in here can say right now, I need something in my life, help from the Lord, and I want to achieve that with the Lord's help through praise? Just put your hand up. Most of us have issues, don't we? Okay, let's just keep both hands up right now. Lord, we exalt you. We praise you. Lord, here's my, and you name your circumstance to the Lord right now. Lord, here it is. I praise you, Lord. For this circumstance I give to you. And I praise you because you are the answer. And I glorify you, Lord. I receive your answer right now. I receive your help right now. I praise you, Lord, because you're the only one. You're the only one that has the power and the knowledge and the strength to take care of this situation. I give it to you, Lord, and I praise you in my heart in advance for what you're doing in my life, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's just say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.